The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow them because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as I mentioned in my welcome, each year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is often referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday, we encounter Christ as the Good Shepherd. But it got me to thinking a little bit about our reading from today, that if we are honest, the opening verse of John chapter 10 can feel just a little bit confusing. I mean, is Jesus the shepherd or is Jesus the gate? And there's a difference. And it seems more often than not, we just blow past the gate and immediately seek out the comfort and familiarity of the shepherd. But today, I want us to slow down just a little bit and linger with the text, because when we do, I believe we discover that this gate might be one of the most powerful images Jesus gives us. Now, there were those in Jesus' day who didn't understand what he was saying. Perhaps they simply resisted the challenge of his words. Or maybe like us, they struggled to picture this intricate scene, a sheepfold, a gatekeeper, a shepherd calling out, thieves lurking in the shadows, sheep gathered together. It's a crowded and complex image. So Jesus simplifies it. He cuts straight to the heart of all of it. "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved." The choice of a gate as a symbol for the Savior is rather curious. It doesn't have the beautiful poetry of "I am the bread of life" or the brilliance of "I am the light of the world." This feels a little bit ordinary, almost too ordinary, and yet sometimes it is precisely the ordinary images that carry the deepest truth. Now, whenever I think of a gate, a real big, heavy gate, I can't help but think of that cold, snowy, bitter January day in 1996 when I stood outside the iron gate of the Dachau concentration camp memorial site. The weight of that place is hard to put into words. The cold on that day seemed to seep deeper there. The silence spoke loudly. That gate was not a symbol of welcome or safety. It was a symbol of hate, of confinement, of suffering, and death. And so to think of Christ as a gate can feel quite jarring. Why would Jesus choose something so plain, something that in our world can even carry such heavy and painful associations? Perhaps because a gate, especially a closed one, tells the truth about us. A closed gate reminds us of our limits, of our boundaries we cannot cross, of situations that we cannot fix, of places we cannot leave on our own. This is where the quote on the back of your bulletin by Dietrich Bonhoeffer helps us to see a little bit more clearly. Writing from a prison cell, Bonhoeffer said, "A prison cell in which one waits, hopes, does various unessential things, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside, is not a bad picture of Advent." Now, I realize that Bonhoeffer was speaking about the season of Advent, but I believe his words reach just as deeply into the Easter promise, because that is what life in a cell represents, waiting for a resolution that we cannot achieve ourselves. We know what that feeling is like. Not necessarily behind iron bars, but in the quiet prisons of our own lives. Sin that we cannot shake, grief that we cannot undo, brokenness that we cannot repair, burdens that we cannot lift. We wait, we hope, we busy ourselves with small things, but deep down we know that we cannot open the door alone. And then Christ comes, not standing on the outside, demanding that we find our own way out, not handing us a key and telling us to simply try just a little bit harder, but entering into the prison itself, into our sin, our suffering, and even into death. And from the inside, he opens the door, and that is Easter. The stone is rolled away, the tomb is opened, the gate that once held us is no longer shut. Christ does not simply point to freedom. Christ is the gate through which freedom comes. To understand this a little bit more deeply, I want to return to the beginning of our reading from this morning. Let's return to ancient Palestine. In that time, shepherds would gather their sheep into a sheepfold at night. Stone walls topped with briars and thorns to keep predators out. And there, in the very narrow opening, right in that spot, there was no wooden gate, no iron bars. The shepherd became the gate. He would lie down across the opening. Nothing would come in or go out through him, or they would only go in and out through him. Nothing went out with his knowing. His very body was the boundary between danger and safety. So when Jesus says that I am the gate, he's not offering up some abstract metaphor. He's making a promise to you and to me. He says, "I am the one who stands between you and all that would destroy you. I am the one who holds you in safety. I am the one who leads you into life." And here is the grace at the center of it all. You do not open this door. Christ does. This is the very heart of our Christian faith. Salvation is not something that we ourselves accomplish. It is something that is given. Grace is not a reward for finding the right door. It is the gift of the door being opened for us. I am the gate, Jesus says. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will find pasture. Notice the movement that is happening here. In and out, safety and freedom, rest and abundance. This is not a locked enclosure. This is life. And it is a life that you have already been brought into. In holy baptism, the door was open. You were named and claimed as God's own, a promise spoken over you that does not depend on your strength or your ability. Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. That door remains open. Even when you find yourselves in the darkest valleys, even when life feels like a cell with no visible exit, even when you are waiting for a resolution that you cannot accomplish on your own, the door is still there because Christ is still there. Now, it's important to remember that the world is going to offer you all sorts of gates, quicker exits, easier answers, false promises of control. But Jesus names them. He names them for what they are, thieves and bandits. They do not lead to life. Only one door does that. And it is not made of wood or iron or stone. It is the living Christ, crucified and risen, who stepped into our lives, into our prison, laid himself across the threshold, and opened the way to life we could never create for ourselves. So yeah, a gate may seem a little simple. It may be an ordinary image, but for those who know what it is to wait, to wonder, to hope, to long for a freedom they cannot achieve on their own, there's nothing more beautiful. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let it be so. Amen.